Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who wants to wish a good evening to everybody out there who isn't Sarah Beth. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, Wednesday night, veto edition. A lot to talk about tonight on the night that we saw Derek X go up on the block, and either he or Claire will be evicted on Thursday night, and a lot to talk about with an amazing panel of queens here with me tonight. Let me start in by bringing in a woman who she's getting very frustrated at this point in the week. Please welcome the voice of the correct people. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, as good as I can be, I guess. That was a tear-filled episode for sure. I mean, they ended it with Derek X crying in the diary room. I mean,
everybody cried tonight.
Seriously, I was on the verge of tears. You know, it was very good, very good, very well done. So very excited to talk about it. I think I got all my like major ranting out last night, or at least I hope, but maybe there's a little bit of ranting sprinkled in.
Yeah, I was listening to the roundtable right before the episode came on tonight to get me pumped up. Fired yes. up tonight, Melissa. Okay, good to have you back here with us tonight. Here with us from the Married at First Sight wrap up, it's Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Even I feel like the biggest idiot because Derek X did not play in the High Rollers room this week. So I just want him to know that he's not alone because there are a lot of tears out there right now.
Do you put a lot of money in him in the stock watch? Why do you feel like an idiot?
I didn't, but I just knew that was the right thing for him to do, just like everyone else, just like America, who sent him money and then he just doesn't. So whatever.
Yeah, you have secondhand sadness.
Yes, yes. My stock was all in Hannah, so it did go down. Thank you, Melissa.
Melissa.
No, I got... Okay, Taryn on the update this morning said that he was wrong
in rating her.
Yeah, he said just a smidge. He wouldn't have done a 7. He would have done a 6.
Yeah, well, okay, sure he would have done a 6, I'm sure. No, you know, I actually got a lot of apologies in my mentions of people being like, Melissa, I'm sorry I was cruel to you in the chat last night after your rating, but now I agree with your Hannah rating, so, you know, I feel a little vindicated.
Okay, all right, we'll talk about it all here tonight, and here with us to talk about a wild Wednesday, taking a break after covering all of Love Island, here is the great Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. Like, no episode of TV can bore me after Love Island USA season 3. So I'm just happy every episode of Big Brother. Doesn't matter if I'm sad at the content. I'm just glad I'm not bored. All of you are just looking at the past. We need to look at the future. We can't dwell, okay?
Okay.
Move forward.
What should we look forward to?
What's coming next? Whatever the future may hold.
Whatever that may be.
Whatever it is.
It's the future, Rob.
I guess so.
Sorry, let me get my fortune teller hat on. Let me pull some tarot cards.
I thought you had some intel of like something good was coming up.
No, I was just trying to quote Queen Tiffany.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to our discussion of tonight's episode. I want to also invite you to send us your questions at robiswebsite.com/ BB questions, where you can use our Google form to ask us anything you want to know. We'll get to those later on in the show. And also on Thursday night, we'll be back to talk about the eviction and maybe even the new head of household live after the episode on Thursday night. And really, we got to just like the long, slow march of getting DX on the chopping block. Asia, how are you feeling at this hour?
You know, yeah, I agree. This episode dragged on. I was like looking at my watch, like this episode is still on because the writing was on the wall from the beginning. Of course, we already knew it was going to happen, but it's just like there was nothing else for them to put in there. That's how clear it was at the beginning of the week, like what Sarah Beth was going to do. So like, I don't know. I'm sad about it because I do really enjoy Derek X. And so I did not want to see him put up on the block, but you know, these consequences for his actions.
Yes. Melissa, I'm frustrated because I feel like that I just watched a show of a bunch of people telling me how they all don't want Derek X to go home, but yet it looks like he may go home, which is it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and that's kind of the general feeling I've had this whole season where it's like the cookout is doing everything they can to get the six to the final six, but they're not thinking about their personal games and what like would be best for them as an individual. And so I think we see a lot of that from week to week of like, well, for my personal game, it's better for me that Derek X stays, but for the cookout, it's better that he leaves. So he's got to go. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of confusing because a lot of the time, you know, you see people on Big Brother in the diary room saying, it's better for my personal game, so I have to find a way to make this happen, even though it's not best for my alliance. Like, you see that most of the time, whereas this, it's the reverse, where it's like, well, it's best for the alliance as a whole, but for me, it's not. So I'm just going to go help out the alliance. And I think that's kind of where the disconnect is happening, is like, we're getting all these DRs, and we're getting all this talk of like, oh, I'd love to have Derek X stay. But we all know, like, you know, that doesn't seem to be happening at this point, because the cookout wouldn't want that. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, what are we going to do?
Is Hannah telling us the truth in the diary room? Because based on everything that I'm hearing from the live feed, it sounds like she does want Derek X to go, but she's telling us how she wants Derek X to stay and she wants to keep him off the block.
I mean, emotionally, I think yeah. she wants Derek X to stay, but it really does seem like her whole vibe at this point is, well, now, got to get rid of him, because if he doesn't go now, then I'll have to get rid of him later. And that's like too much trouble. So,
but that's not what she said.
Well, I mean, people say a lot of things in the diary room. She
You could hear how chopped up her diary room session was. Like, did you notice how like she started saying a word after and then they like changed it? Like, if you go back and listen to it, she's saying like, he would never put me on the block or he would never target me. And she starts to say something else and then is like, and then ends up just saying, and I don't want him to go home or whatever. Like, it's clear that like, personally, on a human level, she likes him as a person and doesn't want to see him go home. But she thinks for whatever stupid reason that this is better for her game. It's not that he leave. And so she's just like, yeah, let's get him out the door. I literally can't understand her logic. Like, it just doesn't even make sense to me why she thinks that this is better. Like, I can't even wrap my head around like, oh, but this is why she thinks this. Like, at least for Sarah Beth, I'm like, well, she thinks that her and Kylan are like on an island, and she thinks that X and Alyssa are on an island, and she thinks that there isn't this big giant alliance working behind the scenes. So it makes sense that she would think Derek X is like her biggest threat to win. So like, I can understand why I don't agree with it. I think she's making a huge mistake, but I can see from her perspective why she thinks that. Hannah, on the other hand, I cannot understand what she's thinking, and I don't understand why she thinks it's better for her game that literally the person who would do anything for her in this game, who would throw his Big Brother life to get her further, why she thinks that him being out of the game at this point in time is better for her. I don't get it.
But look, I am on a different camp than everybody else with Hannah. So I truly do
because
not
you have
believe
all your money in with her in the stock watch, Asia.
Yeah, this seems.
No, listen, I'm putting myself in Hannah's shoes. I'm watching her on the feeds. I'm hearing what she says, but Hannah is in a position where she knows, okay, cookout, final six. She knows that he is going to leave. If it's not this week, it's next week or the next week. And so she's like, look, I can't be the one person who's fighting tooth and nail for my one person to stay this week. However, I also don't want to be in a position to be the one that has to put him up. Because look, if she wins HOH Final 7 or Final 8 and then she has to put up Derek X, it's like that would kill her way more than having to do it now. It's like she doesn't want any scenario. And I think the fact that, you know, she's like, okay, I'm going to swallow that and I'm going to think about the cookout, making it to the final six. It's like, I know that everybody else thinks it's not best for her game. And, you know, it may not be the best path for her to get to final two. But the fact that they made this commitment to the cookout, they're sticking to it. They're actually trying to do it. It's like, okay, Hannah's like, okay, with that reality check, this is what I have to do. So I don't think she's not trying to get him out. It's like the less of the evils that she's faced with.
Mm-hmm. But okay, wait, I can't agree with that because I totally get what you're saying. Like I get where you're coming from and you're saying like, she doesn't want to have to get him out later. So she's like, you know what? I have to bite the bullet and let him leave. That's totally fine. And I absolutely like, I get that, but she's forcing him to go. Like she's the one who's like, don't play the thing. I'll play the thing. Like she's the one who is getting him out. Like if it was an inevitable, like it was just inevitability that he was going to leave this week. Like obviously like she shouldn't put herself out in the line and be like, no, we have to keep him. Like, no, I'll do anything. But the fact that she could have done something and not only did she not do anything, she actively did stuff to get him out this week. That's what I can't wrap my mind around.
Well, because yeah,
yeah, go ahead.
But in this situation, like it's still Sarah Beth is the HOH. Kylan is pushing Sarah Beth. Yes, Hannah is taking a lot of agency and really pushing and is the one like putting a stop to any chance that Derek X might have to stay. But like the perception is she didn't put him up. She like, and so I think for her, it would be harder to be the HOH or the one who like wins the veto and doesn't use it or something like that. Whereas this way, even though she's taking a very direct role in getting rid of him, it doesn't feel as direct because she's not the one with the quote unquote like power in the week. And like, the thing is like, I could see both sides, but I can't really quibble too much with it. We see season after season after season, if there's a man and a woman in an alliance, people will criticize the woman for like laying down and letting the man stay or whatever. And then she's like, okay, well, I'll let him go. I'll push for him to go. Now people are like, well, how dare she? He's our boy. So I'm just like, no one's going to be happy with what Hannah does regardless. So I just hope that she's happy.
But it's a bad move for her game. Like, that's the thing is, like, this is not a good game move. Like, if it was a good game move and it was like, no, like, oh, no, her showman, she should keep him. Then I'd be like, okay, that's stupid. But this isn't even a good move for her game. Like, this is bad for her. And not only that, like, it's not just like, well, she's, like, letting him go. Like, she actively lied to him about playing the power. She didn't play roulette. She convinced him not to play. Like, it's one thing if she's like, hey, look, you lost veto, you lost the roulette because you played or whatever, or you chose not to play, but I didn't lie to you about it. Like, if he just chose not to play, and then he also didn't win veto, and then he ended up on the block, like, it's like, well, you know what? That happened, and there's nothing Hannah can do about it. But she started off 2 weeks ago trying to get this guy out, and now it's finally come to fruition. And it's a bad move. It's a bad play. That's all I'm saying is like, I don't think it has anything to do with like, oh no, the love of her life. And she's like letting him go. And you know, he should stay. And what is she doing? Like, it's literally just that it's a bad game move and there's no logic behind it. Like there's just none. And it's like, I do not get it. Like, I don't understand what she's doing. It's just, I don't have any faith in Hannah as a game player anymore. I just don't.
I cannot hold her fully at fault for him not playing. That was against his own free will. She is not this like master manipulator that truly convinced him that he was 100% safe. It's like, yeah, did she try to get him not to play? Absolutely. But he could have very well played. So that was his own decision. But yes, I do think that, yes, it's not the best game move for her right now, but it's the lesser of the evils that are in the future that are to come. Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
Well, that is interesting.
I just think that if it was in the future and she was the one on the block, or she was the HOH or whatever, she had power, she had the veto, it doesn't matter. And we're like at final seven and it's a question of, do I keep Derek X or do I keep the six together? And she's the one who has to pull the trigger. That's a totally different story. And I can be like, yes, I get it. Like, she needs to get him out. She wants to work with the cookout. Like, that's just what she has to do. And hopefully he'll understand. Yeah, but I think this is in a worse position. But this is a worse thing. She lied to him and made him think he's going out the door thinking that she was all behind him, that she played the roulette and she just lost it and she could have done it and she was on his side and they're working together. And now he's going to find that out in the jury house and it's going to be way worse than her sitting there being like, I'm sorry, Derek X, I have this loyalty. I'm going to have to let you go. Like, that is a totally different thing than her like actively like behind his back being like, yes, play, don't play this thing, I'll play for you, and then not actually playing. Like, that's so cruel.
Yeah, but like,
she's playing Big Brother.
Like, I understand
but that in a bad way.
You're right. Like, Melissa, you're right about the strategy, but if you put yourself in her position, to her it would be harder to be the HOH in that spot or to have the veto in that spot than to just do this. So she's just taking the action that she can live with regardless of the strategic consequences. Again, she's like, She's just a baby.
Like, I feel like
everyone does not make good decisions. I mean, we see that with Sarah Beth, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone makes bad decisions in the game of Big Brother.
No, and that's the thing. And I'm not saying that, like, I'm faulting her and I'm saying, like, that she shouldn't make bad decisions. Like, I'm saying, like, she is making a bad decision. And if we're all in agreement on that, then we're all in agreement on that. And she made a bad decision and she's playing it poorly this week. Like, I think that that's, like, something that we can all agree on is what you guys are saying, that she made a bad decision and people make bad decisions in Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My initial question was just that, is she lying to us in the diary room? And I think that Melissa, I think you answered that question with the Frankenbite.
What's going on here?
And Asia, I'm gonna go.
I think that you answered.
I'm just gonna log off.
Her motive here of like wanting to get him out in the way that she could keep her hands as clean as possible in her mind, which might be a little bit of the easy way out of like, okay, at least like let him go here where I don't have to be the one to actively have to do anything that he's going to see, and I can keep his jury vote, even though long term it might not be the best plan for her to get to the final two. We'll see.
Right, because if she takes no action and then he ends up staying, then she's like, dang, now I'm in a situation where if I happen to finally get HOH, then I have to put him up because I know that my alliance wants him out. So like, I might as well try to make it happen now. So that's where I think she's at.
Yeah, I think it's more so like we're all in agreement that it's not the best for her personal game. But I think Asia and I are just trying to understand what her perspective is and where she's coming from, rather than putting on like the lens of like, well, I wouldn't do it like this. I don't know.
Yeah. And let's not forget the real villain here is Sarah Beth.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. Sarah
One
Beth
thing we can
like,
all agree on.
What annoys me the most about Sarah Beth is that she'll sit there and be like, I'm getting your boy, America. But then she'll be like, ugh, who cares about BB bucks? You're not voting me to get them anyways. Well, you're getting rid of our boy. Why would we give you any BB bucks?
Mm-hmm. I think it's part of it. I think it's part of like, well, I guess like if America already hates me, I'll just lean into it and like punish America by getting rid of their boy. And now like, because I don't care about what America thinks of me, when really like I think it's all because she cares about like what America thinks
of
her.
Yeah. She cares so much. Every single thing about Sarah Beth oozes someone who cares a lot about what everyone thinks. And that's okay. Most of us do.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
don't lie to me.
Can I play? This is when Sarah Beth put Derek X up on the block tonight.
Derek X, I think if I were not to take this shot while it's perfectly lined up, it would show reckless overconfidence on my part.
Yeah. God forbid Sarah Beth showed any reckless overconfidence.
That's the last thing she'd want to do.
The last thing.
And I'm like, oh, was God. This even the speech she practiced with Kylan? Like, she ran through her speech multiple times with Kylan. I don't remember this version being on the final cut.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go back through the episode. And really, the only thing we got to see from Alyssa in this episode tonight is her feeling bad about that she played the shopping block roulette and got Xavier up on the block. And Alyssa is really bringing nothing to the table at this point. Can we just do like a double eviction real quick and just like have Alyssa also fall out a trapdoor of this house? Yeah. What is Alyssa doing? Where is? Are we really? We're gonna waste a week on getting Alyssa evicted at some point.
I just love the concept that she's like, oh, and it's all my fault. I did. You spun a roulette wheel, ma'am. Like, I know that this has been like talked to death already, but like, really, this is you're why? Stop crying. What are you doing?
Yeah, I also feel like I understand where she's like, oh no, my one ally is on the block and he's such a threat that everyone's going to come after him and go, but it's like, we're watching it with the context that like, there is literally no way X is leaving this week. Like, there's just no way. So like, we're sitting there like, okay, Alyssa, like, calm down. Like, your boy X is not going to be leaving. Like, this isn't a problem. Like, you know, but I guess like, if you don't know that, you're sitting there like, oh my God, like it's the two of us on an island and look, I've thrown him out to the sharks. And you know, like I could like, it's like, I see where she's coming from, but it's just, we're sitting there like, okay, well, so yeah,
be upset that he's on the block. Sure.
Right.
But don't, it's not your fault. It was a randomly generated thing. Like I get being upset. Sure. Like, but why how are you responsible for literally a roulette? It's like the most 100% based on chance game in the casino, like the most random thing that could happen. And she's like, and it's all my fault. And I just feel horrible. And it's like, hey, feel bad that he's on the block.
Did she cry like this when Christian went on the block?
No.
No, and X mentioned that at one point, too.
Oh, my God.
He's like, oh, you didn't cry like this for Christian.
What I don't understand is why she did it in the first place. I feel like I'm missing that because I feel like, okay, I get that she gets to then be safe, but then wouldn't she have known that this would be a possibility that X would be possibly put on the block? Like, if I was her, I'd be like, I'm not chancing this. I'm going to save my money. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I guess because Sarah Beth told her to, but like, other than that, it's like,
well, she wasn't going to have enough money to play for the coin. So she was like, I might as well play for this and have something. And then she's like, very proud of herself for winning that competition as well.
Against no one.
Against no one, first of all. And did she do that well?
It like, didn't seem like it.
Yeah, fine.
Not that many, yeah.
I would have loved to see Derek X do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet you would. Like,
he would have, like, banked out, like, a 40. Well,
anybody who's ever, like, done a hula hoop could do that competition. Like, it will be fine. But she's very proud of it. And so, of course, she wants to use that power to be like, look at me. I won something. She couldn't win the coin anyways. And then it's, like, the trap door Rob talked about. And she just fell through it. And now she's in a trap and X is on the block. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I do think it will be funny if Alyssa wins HOH on Thursday night, and then we could just see Xavier just completely run Alyssa's HOH. And like, hey, I think the move to make, I think we got to put Sarah Beth and Claire. Those are the nominations. Like, you're right. You're right, Xavier. You're on to something.
Point. I think that would be the move. Yeah.
I think a single tear would flow down my face if Alyssa won HOH tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, it's
only
like,
a single tear?
Right? Just one.
To be dramatic.
It's comical because even when the cookout like hasn't been in power, like that they've been able to like also like manipulate the HOHs to get what they want. Like it's been super impressive, like to get what they want, even when not an ideal HOH wins.
Well, totally. Yeah, that's the thing that's so impressive. And I think that is something people are missing when they start complaining. Oh, it's, you know, they're just like steamrolling everyone. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's boring. It's not boring. Like they have faced adversity. They have faced situations that they should not have been able to get out of. But because each member of the cookout has unique and interesting skills that they can use to gain an advantage, even when they have absolutely no business getting an advantage. And I don't even think it's that they're against like particularly weak competitors. I think that they're just doing such a good job, and I have to respect that. And I'm excited. Like, this is history, and it's awesome. Like, it's mm-hmm. so great to see.
Totally. I mean, think about a situation where you have this same sort of setup with a 6-person alliance. They don't win any competitions and they're not good strategically. Like, if you don't have this group of people who are so good in terms of strategy, social game, you know, manipulation, all of that, like, you literally can't get them to do anything. They would be out week after week. It doesn't matter that you have 6 people that are loyal to each other, because you would just take them out one by one. Like, but the fact that they are so good at convincing people to do their bidding, even though they have like won no power, essentially, they've won like just a couple HOHs or whatever. Like, most of the time they're not in power. Most of the time they don't have the veto, and they're still mm-hmm. able to get what they want to happen. It's so impressive.
Yeah, I don't understand people who are saying this season's so boring. They're not, it's like so predictable. And I'm like, what are you talking mm-hmm. about? They have like, if they were winning HOH after HOH after HOH, I could understand. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're making this stuff happen with absolutely no power is so impressive. And I don't understand why people don't see that.
Like, and most seasons where people's alliances will win half the competitions and they right. still can't get, like, look at BB20. Yeah. Fauci mm-hmm. won stuff, a lot of stuff, and they couldn't get anything. So, like, you got to give it up to the gameplay.
Yeah, and most of the big, giant alliances, like, if you're talking about, like, the Bomb Squad or, like, Grateful or the Committee or Level 6, like, they're winning competitions. Like, they are solidly up in power week after week, and that's how they're able to steamroll. Whereas, like, this is, like, a sort of, like, under the radar, out of power sort of steamroll, where you don't really see that very often, because for the most part, like, that doesn't work, because you need power in order to do anything or make the moves you want to happen. And they're literally making it to the end, making it look like a steamroll without any power. It's very impressive.
Well, let's talk about the big plan to backdoor Derek X. Claire talks to Sarah Beth. Claire is able to sort of suss out from what Sarah Beth is saying that Derek X is going to go to the block. She tells Derek X that it's going to be a backdoor, and Tiffany comes in finally. She joins this conversation. Tiffany is pretending she doesn't know this is going to be the case. Is that accurate at the point where we saw this on the show? Did Tiffany not know that Derek X was a backdoor target?
I think everybody knew, like, basically the whole time that Derek X was likely in trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Claire knew, you know, at the start of the week, like, hey, you know, when people are telling you they're not going to put you on the block as the initial nominee, that means you're a backdoor. Like, it's been known for a while that Derek X is a big target and people would likely try and backdoor him. The only person who didn't really know that was Derek X, which I don't mm-hmm. understand why he didn't automatically assume, like, I'm in big trouble. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and something too, like, every time this came up where someone like Claire or Derek X were trying to talk to Sarah Beth about it, she did a really bad job yep. of like obscuring anything that she was mm-hmm. going to be doing. Like, in a situation where you were trying to backdoor someone, you need to really keep it hidden from the people that are, you know, aligned with your target and the target themselves. But she's just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what would be right for me. I don't know what would be best for me. And it's like, no, but not one person believes that. You have to be like, no, you're good, you're safe. Like, yeah. If you win the veto, Derek X, like, don't use it. Like, it's good, it's fine.
Yeah, if the HOH is like midweek and they're sitting there saying, like, I don't know who I want out, I don't know what I'm going to do, it's a lie.
Right.
It's probably you. Like, you need to watch out, because, you know, that's very dangerous. For the most part, an HOH knows going into the week what they're going to do. And if they don't know, like, on the first night, like, they have a plan. Like, after that, there is not a situation where they're like, eh, we'll just see what happens. Who knows what I'm going to do? Like, they already have a target in mind.
Yeah, and it's hilarious too, because it's like, they know who Kylan is. Kylan has been in that HOH room for hours. There's absolutely no way that Sarah Beth doesn't have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
As if he'd allow her not to have a plan.
Yeah, right. There's no way she doesn't have Kylan's plan.
Right.
Derek X ends up talking to Sarah Beth. Derek X is looking for some reassurance of like, you'll let me know it's going to be okay. And Sarah Beth tells him that she cannot give him any info to put him at ease. And he
is very comforting.
Yeah, it was not very comforting that he's like, hey, could you just tell me, and you don't have to if you don't want to, but just, you know, would you want the veto used? And again, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. And she's not giving him anything. This is not very reassuring for Derek X.
Yeah. Also, maybe starting out with like, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. It's like not the best way to get any information. It's like, okay, I won't answer then. You know,
yeah, but he comes across so endearing when he does it, where it's the thing of like, oh, he's like making himself seem smaller. And I feel like with a lot of people, that would maybe work to get more than what you intend to give. But in this situation, Sarah Beth is like, I'm giving nothing. Like, I will give the bare minimum. I will not tell you anything. And by not telling him anything, she's telling him everything he needs to know, but just ultimately doesn't pan out.
Yeah.
I feel like they should ban wearing sunglasses in the Big Brother house.
With those hard sunglasses? They're terrible.
Too hard to read anyone. Sarah Beth and Tiffany, they always are wearing sunglasses. I feel like it would be so hard to read people. Like, even when I'm just having a regular conversation with someone and they're wearing sunglasses, I have, like, no idea where to look. I don't know if they're looking at me or even, like, talking to me. I'm always so confused. I feel like it's impossible to read people when they're wearing sunglasses. And, like, to have Sarah Beth just sitting there, just, like, with her hard sunglasses on, just, like, standing there, not giving you anything, I wouldn't know what to think. I'd be like, do you mind removing those for a second?
Yeah, she said she would have worn them during the veto ceremony if they would have let her. I'm so glad they didn't.
God.
Yeah.
They should not allow that.
Give them away? Like the diary room needs to be like, give us those. Like, you're grounded. We're putting them in the car.
We're donating them to the Red Cross. That just people need sunglasses.
Nobody wants those sunglasses. So
I understand going like, outside, when you're outside, wear sunglasses. We're trying to sleep and makes you need sense. Like, you know, some shade, wear them.
They're
but when
sunglasses.
You're having like strategy conversations with people, it's like, take those off. You don't need those. And I get everyone's going to say, oh, but it's the harsh glare of the studio
lights.
They're very intense and, you know, whatever. It's like, okay, well, I don't care about that. Like, I don't care about that. Like, take those off. I want to see your face.
Well, yeah, because isn't that the thing where like poker players will wear sunglasses? So like maybe don't when you're being strategic.
All right. I mean, I guess like I can see why you'd want to, because you'd be like, well, I won't give anything away. Like, I, you know, if I'm lying to someone, they can't really tell.
We all understand why you would want to. Yeah, but it's not a great look in terms of like coming across as sincere to people.
No, of course not.
Terrible.
There's no connection 100%. There.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the veto draw, because Derek X realizes, oh boy, I really needed to get pulled in this veto. Claire is willing to pull his chip pick him for house guest choice. Ultimately, Sarah Beth picks, she draws Azza. Claire draws Derek F.
Yeah, Derek, pause. F.
Yes.
And wrong, Derek.
Xavier picks Alyssa, and we learn here once and for all, Big Brother is not rigged. Next time someone tells you, oh, they rigged Big Brother, point to Derek X's chip not getting pulled in the veto draw.
Yeah, most dramatic would be to have Derek X play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not rigged.
It's not rigged. Mm-mm. Okay. And now Claire goes on her just like sobbing tour for like the whole second half of this episode. Asia, I mean, Claire is like, boo-hoo, woe is me. Like, this is day, 50 of Big Brother 23?
Right. It's hilarious too, because it's like, I turn the feeds on, I'm like, why is Claire crying like this? Like, you would have thought Big Brother said, Claire, you're going home tomorrow, say your goodbyes. But it's like, no, this is like your life in the game. You still have a chance to fight. And then she's just crying for multiple reasons, whether it be, oh my gosh, he's going to be backdoored. Oh my gosh, he like actually is going to be backdoored because Xavier won veto. Oh my gosh. It was a lot, but it does show how much they have like formed this connection in the house, which is cool.
Sure.
I do really like their friendship, you know.
It's nice.
But she was boohooing, and that was a lot.
Yeah, and Kirsten.
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
As I said, she didn't even, it's not even like she heard Tiffany saying, if it comes to between Derek X and Claire, yes. Claire can go.
Harsh. Yeah, and that's the thing is, it's like Claire at this point, she's put together, okay, well, obviously there's a backdoor target. Let me logic out how it has to be Derek X. So she has to know that if it's her against Derek X, like Derek X will go. So if he doesn't get to play in the veto, that means she's more likely to stay this week. So she should be maybe not jumping for joy because she's losing a close alliance member, but she shouldn't be this upset. She should be like, okay, well, at least I'm going to stay probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally felt for her, and I feel, you know, I feel bad, and it is like humanizing, I think, to see Claire cry just because like, throughout the whole season, she really hasn't shown like much emotion. And even when things are like down for her, she's just kind of like, yeah, I guess I'm going to like go for the veto or whatever. It's like, she never really has any sort of like emotionality on the episodes, and you don't really see a lot of personality. So it was good for, I think, them to show, you know, this other side of her. However, you know, it is frustrating that like, to see her be like, you know, all I have to do is I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to win the veto. I'm going to save my ally, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And like us to already know that like she doesn't do any of that, and she like doesn't try really that hard, and she's not really fighting for her life, and you know, you just don't really, I haven't really gotten what I had hoped to get out of Claire during her time on the show. So I'm a little disappointed in her, but you know, I obviously don't want her to leave, but like I feel like she's not giving us that like, you know, fight that like a super fan would, we would hope they would give, you know. I don't know.
I mean, she can go. Like, she's nice. She seems like a good person. I would like to be friends with her. She's in an unwinnable
normal position
and has been for some time.
Yeah,
so, she can go. Have fun in jury.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm at that point too.
Yeah.
I do like
her. It's like I hate her.
She can step on the trap door too. Fine.
I feel like in terms of like either Claire stays or Derek X stays, I think Derek X staying has the most possible impact on the game. Like, unless Claire goes on some sort of like competition win tear, like, and then she ends up in the final two or something, like maybe that's an interesting storyline, but I don't really see that happening. Derek X, on the other hand, I could see him doing that. So like him sticking around really could be a more interesting storyline. Cause I kind of feel like we've gotten all we can from Claire. I haven't really seen any sort of like, I don't know. I haven't seen anything that makes me think like, oh, this could be something. Whereas Derek X, like that really could be something.
Mm-hmm. I guess it could go either way. I think Derek X is, you know, such a big target in the house. People are never going to forget about him. And I understand that, you know, Tiffany could potentially have him take the shot against Kylan and against Xavier, because those guys are going to be hard to beat. And I know that there's definitely been talk in the house about how some of the men in the cookout feel like that they've been doing a lot of the heavy lifting. I wonder, with that sort of talk going on, if there could be like another path potentially for, you know, for Tiffany and Hannah and Azza. Could they ever look at the numbers and say, boy, we've got there's Alyssa, and there's Sarah Beth, and there's Alyssa, Sarah Beth, and Claire. Now, is it possible? Could they ever look at this and say, like, well, what if, you know, could we decide to go all women to the final six?
No, there's no way Alyssa's. There's no way Alyssa's going for that.
Mm-hmm.
Alyssa is way too tied around Xavier's finger.
Mm-hmm.
He literally, as it's coming out of Tiffany's mouth to Alyssa, she's would be telling Xavier. So
yeah,
there's no way that would fly.
Maybe,
even Sarah Beth.
Yeah, I mean, the two of them, maybe they had like some sort of like a wake up call of like, yeah, Kylan has you wrapped around his finger, and Xavier has you wrapped around his finger. Like, wake up,
yeah,
ladies.
But that's why when they're being manipulated, it's working so well, because they are totally wrapped up in another player and they don't realize that they are being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just think, oh, this is my close alliance member and we talk everything out and I want to protect them. They don't think, oh, this person's making my decisions for me.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about this veto competition, because I thought that this was a particularly interesting competition, which involved some rewards and involved some punishments. And I know that as the retelling went during the week, it was kind of confusing about, wait, why would Xavier take all these punishments? It doesn't make any sense. He didn't need them. But that this was, like, I think, a cleverly designed veto where that you really, if you wanted to win, you kind of had to go through the road to get through the worst punishments.
I'm conflicted, yes, Rob, about this competition, because on the one hand, sure, it's an interesting twist on a reward and punishment type veto. Like, the how bad do you want it vetoes are interesting, and it's nice to see it done in a new way. However,
yeah,
you know, comma, but this was so boring to watch 6 times in a row people set up dominoes and be like, oh, I have to set up the dominoes just such distance that they'll knock each other over, because I don't want them to not knock each other over. I have to make sure it hits the button. Like, I don't care. Like, it was so boring to watch.
I like this one. And you know what? I like the domino song.
No, you did not.
Say that domino song. No.
Yeah.
Love it.
I do not feel safe on that.
I can't remember how it went now.
Yeah.
I don't remember how it went, but at the time, it was a banger.
Absolutely not.
The domino song
take
was
it
fun.
Back.
All right.
I can't remember back. It.
Yeah.
I liked the comp in the fact that if you wanted it, you had to take those 3 punishments, because it was like, they kept saying it. I was like, was it just like a, oh, I'll do this or I'll do this? I was really confused about what the concept of the comp was before this. And so because it didn't make sense why Xavier would take all those punishments. So I like that. But yeah, it could have been 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be as long as it was.
It could have been an email.
I do think that, like, it was an interesting concept, and I like the idea of, like, you have to choose, like, you, there's different ways to do it and you have to make your choice. And, you know, some of these choices are good, some of them are bad, you know, et cetera. I think that's a really interesting concept. I do think that it does get a little tedious to, like, have people, like, running and, like, grabbing a domino, like, setting it up and, like, testing it and then going back and then getting another one, testing it again, as they're then being like, you know, the concept of dominoes is very interesting because you have to line your dominoes up just so.
That's right.
And I'm going to use my foot as a measuring device. It's like, okay, whatever. I don't care. Just, like, say, I'm going to take the punishment. I'm not going to take the punishment, and let's move on.
It's like, just so you know, if one domino hits another domino, they'll all fall down.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Did you know that you have to set them up just so and have every single person explain it the exact same way?
Yeah. And because, well, how else are you supposed to explain setting up dominoes to fall? Like, it causes a chain reaction when all of the dominoes fall. So I have to set up my dominoes just right so that they all hit each other. Stop it. Have one person explain
it.
Show everybody do it. Like, I don't
Why
need
are
to
you
study.
Guys picking on this competition? This is every Big Brother competition.
It's a problem for them all.
Yeah, it's not like this is a new issue for me, but tonight, as I watched 6 people set up dominoes to push them over, I was like, what are we doing here? Just spin the roulette wheel and let me know who wins the veto. I don't care.
I also think it's also worse for this comp because we all know how dominoes work. And I think for, like, other comps, it's like, well, we don't necessarily know how this particular Big Brother competition works, so maybe they have to explain it a few times. But dominoes, like, that is a classic tradition in America, the game of dominoes. We all know it. We all love it. And now we know how to play it multiple times because we've had it explained.
Mm-hmm. Or they could have, like, done a montage. Like, we didn't need to see every person's full run. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being, like, an old man yelling at a cloud or something, but I'm so over it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to see when Sarah Beth went, she talked about how she didn't even care about the BB Bucks because she doesn't get them.
Honestly, America can wipe their...
Well, yeah. That,
wow.
Yeah, that, we cut that off early. That's
you don't want to hear the rest of that one.
Yeah.
Ow.
Take it easy, like, Sarah Beth.
Well,
right,
you know,
chill.
If you say money can't solve your problems, it means you don't have enough money to solve them. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I thought it was pretty funny that she said that. The fact that she was willing to say that was It was unexpected, I would say. I was not expecting her to show, talk Melissa. About wiping your butt with it. I think they're really doubling down on, like, Sarah Beth is a villain, Derek X is our hero, and, like, you know, this is what she's done to you. This is what she's done to your boy, America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they're really doubling down.
Yeah.
Yeah. America, don't listen to Sarah Beth. Continue to use toilet paper. Continue to use bidets.
Do not use your BB Bucks, please. Mm-hmm. Still vote.
Yeah. And then we saw Xavier. Xavier goes for all of the punishments, goes in a straight line, shows like what he's willing to do to come off the block on a week where he definitely wouldn't have gone home at all. And Sarah Beth would have probably saved him. But we get to Claire. And Claire goes last. And Claire does want to come off the block. And Claire does want Xavier to stay on the block. And she needs to win the veto. But Claire is not willing to take the punishment of being the third nominee next week. Claire, you're going to be the second nominee next week.
She's going to be the second nominee until she goes home. But okay, Claire.
Or maybe the first.
She's been on the block 2 weeks in a row. What's a third week? I feel like it does not make any sense to me because she knows there is a risk for her to go home this week. Like, why are these people playing so far in the future? Like, same with Derek X. Like, why are they playing so far in the future when this is the week that matters? You might not even be here to have any of this other stuff matter to you. Like, you need to make sure that you are safe this week. Worry about next week if you're still here next week. You know, look, don't do it.
It's working out. Or yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say it's working out in like, so they in the past few weeks are like, okay, Frenchie, Brent, Christian, they all were playing the next weeks, mm-hmm. right? So now they're in a position where they have to play in the current week and they're like, whoa, boop, 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 having to compute. How do I do that? I'm not used to doing that. And so therefore it's like, well, oops, sorry, you're on the block, or oops, sorry, you're going home because you're mm-hmm. too used to playing weeks in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, at least, you know, if she goes up as the third nominee, she knows for sure she's playing in the veto no matter what. So,
right.
Not the end
true.
Of the world.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least she wouldn't get backdoored. Like, yeah. I
think they're backdooring her anyway, it's protection from that anyways.
Yeah. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's like, you know that your Big Brother life is on the line this week, and you know you have to win the veto, and she doesn't go for the prize. Like, she doesn't go for like the punishment. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why you would go. Like, does she not think that anyone would go for that? Like, maybe it makes sense if she thought that there was like no way that anyone would go for third nominee, but like, come on.
But then even better, because you know you'll win the veto.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't know.
I know that Claire thinks she has Tiffany, but what else does Claire think she has going on in this house?
I mean, she essentially thinks she has like an alliance going on with Tiffany and Hannah and Derek X, like as like a foursome alliance. Like, she thinks she has that. But like, I mean, even so, like the thought is that Derek X is going to be on the block. Then does she really think that both Hannah and Tiffany are going to keep her over Derek X? Like, I don't know. And so I don't think Claire is in any position to be like, yeah, no, I'm good. Like, I don't have to worry about this. That's why I don't understand what Claire's doing this week. Like, I've been very frustrated with Claire this week as well, just because like it hasn't made any sense, and it just feels so like not passionate enough. It doesn't feel like she realizes that her life is on the line, that her butt is like, you know, about to go home, and she's just kind of playing very passively, and it's very frustrating.
She likes Derek X too much.
She might have watched, Claire, we all do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She might have watched too many Rob Has a Podcast episodes from back in like a few years ago when the whole thing was like sleep for the first half of the game and then turn it on for the second
half
of the game.
The first half.
And that's the thing, is that we've seen so many people lately where they take that strategy, but they take it too far and they're just like, I'm just going to sleep. And then, oh no, I went home. Like, I didn't get a chance to turn it on. It's like, no, you sleep for like the first couple weeks, not the first like like majority of the game until you get to the final four. Like, you need to start waking up and playing, and it's past jury. So that can't even be an excuse. Like, well, there's no excuse.
Like, go to sleep, like still be there. It's not like, okay, you're in a coma, right? Like,
yeah, it's like you still need to have like an alliance and like build yourself up and put yourself in a good spot. It's just like, don't be out there. Don't be the person that's the target. Like, that's all it is. And I think some people are taking away to heart.
It doesn't mean
that's a new strategy. be in a coma instead of, yeah, instead of just be in a coma.
Can't vote her out. She's in a coma.
Yeah, we can't vote her out.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They put Jocasta on the block once and she was wasn't even there.
True.
Or they
but
put
they
her bow tie on the chair.
Someone else to play the veto for her.
Yeah.
I think the only thing she, I think the only thing she does that she has going for her is that the fact that she's the not, she's not a bigger threat than anybody else in the house. Mm-hmm. So she's just thinking, why would they send me home? It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, but she's not useful to anyone.
Yeah. We had a whole segment about Claire then crying in the shower. She let everybody down.
Yeah.
No well, kidding. She
also, yeah. I mean, yeah. She also was like, oh, I should have taken the third nominee or whatever.
Yes.
Like, yeah. You should have. Why didn't you?
I do just want to say, while we are talking crap about Claire, at least, you know, at least she made it in other than the alternative. I think we'd be way more annoyed with the alternative.
Yes, thank you for Claire.
thank you, Claire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So after Claire got done crying in the shower, we had a sort of a weird segment here. I felt like, is this a commercial? I don't know. What is going on here? That the Big Brother contestants were recruited to make packages that were going to be used by the Red Cross, and now this seemed like a very noble thing that was a part of the show. I guess CBS has partnered with the Red Cross in some way, and they're having the Big Brother contestants make relief packages that are for people in emergencies.
It doesn't make any sense, and also it takes way more time to have production, like put them out in these nice crates and arrange them all beautifully and then put them in the backyard and then explain it to the Big Brother house guests and then have them come and put all the little packages together and do a whole segment for TV than it would be to just have like production put the packages together themselves.
Like sure. Send money sure. Or just send money. And then it's also weird too because they can't like shout out any specific emergencies mm-hmm. that are happening right now because the house guests can't know about it.
Yeah. General emergencies.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Honestly, if I was a house guest and I was like, they were like, we're going to need you to put together packages for the Red Cross for emergencies.
Oh
I'd
my
be like,
God. What
okay,
happened?
I'm sorry. What happened?
Like, I'm sorry. What happened? World War III? Like, what's going
why?
On?
What happened?
Why? You guys never do this. Why now are we putting together emergency packages? I'd be so freaked out.
Yeah,
literally the feeds went down on Sunday and I was like, oh my gosh, are they doing the veto ceremony early? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And so the feeds go down and they came back up and it was like, oh no, they didn't do it. And then I later found out for the American Red Cross. I was like, oh, okay, let's get back to, okay, is Derek X going to go on the block? And then I was like, what is Big Brother doing to me? I didn't care that they were doing something nice.
Whatever.
We're just lucky that we didn't see Tiffany making them all donate blood. Like, she has the qualifications. She could have been taking
she could have done it.
Oh, blood. God.
I'm glad we didn't have to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Did they even put a card up on the screen about like the ways to donate to the Red Cross? It seemed like it was just that they like talked about the Red Cross and we had a
I
segment
think there was
and we
a link.
On.
I didn't see maybe. One, but I also wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
Yeah, all maybe right. During the commercial. I'm not sure.
All right, we'll see. Scott, if we could get that link for the podcast, let's go ahead and do that because we'll do our part. How about this flex from Kyland? You know, I've actually packed these bags before.
Yeah. And Derek X like, these bags? He's like, well, not these exact bags, but, you know, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this.
Yeah. It's all right. So
well, you know, nothing makes your past volunteer work more meaningful than talking about it on national television. Oh, yeah. I've actually already done this before.
Yeah. Is that a thing that the Red Cross has people do? You just go there and you like put together these care packages?
Oh, I'm sure that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have different options. Yeah. Like they said, there are multiple ways you can
donate
give blood.
Time,
you can donate
blood
time,
or money.
Money. They said what the house guests are doing is donating time.
Yes.
They don't want blood money.
Yes. And donating your time, blood, and money is what the live feeders do for the entirety of most summers.
Yes.
Okay.
True.
All right. let's get back to Derek X and Tiffany. They come up with an idea. All right, let's get Sarah Beth to put Hannah up on the block. Because if Claire goes home, is that the worst thing that could happen? No. Let's see. Maybe Sarah Beth could do it. Because wasn't Sarah Beth Miss I Gotta Get Hannah Out a couple of weeks ago? Maybe she'll go for it.
It's worth a try.
It was worth a try. And I just think that I think Derek X obviously should have been pleading the case for himself, but I thought there were moments in that conversation where if he said something slightly different, that it would have rung a bell with her. Also, the fact that they didn't show that Kylan came in shortly after to ruin her whole thought process kind of just nipped it in the bud.
Yeah.
Right.
Asia,
exactly.
What should he have said differently?
So when she was saying like, okay, so if Chada and Claire are on the block, you think Chada would go home? And he's like, you would have a unanimous decision there for the house. He should have pressed it home like, absolutely, and then gone through every person. Tiffany would keep Claire because Claire's this. Xavier would keep Claire because blah, 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 blah. Like, he should have pressed it home in that way to where she's like, wait, actually, that is a good point, you know?
Yeah, also, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, it also, like, if I'm Sarah Beth and that is the pitch that's given to me, is like, hey, don't put me up, put my closest ally on the block. I'd be like, what? Like, okay, clearly, like, I don't believe that you want, like, Hannah to go up and go home. Like, and that you would vote Hannah out. It just, like, it wouldn't ring true to me. It would feel fake. Like, it was like, he was just trying to play me. Like, I wouldn't believe it unless there was, like, something. Like, I think it might have even, I think Asia's right that could have been at least more convincing, but I also think maybe even just like having people like plant seeds in her head that's like, oh, Hannah's been saying stuff about you, Hannah's targeting you, like something like that makes her think that it's her idea to put Hannah on the block, not him being like, yeah, put Hannah on the block, she'd go home, like, because that just feels like a trap.
Right,
whereas, like, you go ahead.
But even if you think that that's genuine, when he's saying, oh, put Hannah up, she'll go home, and then I'll be with you and Kylan till the end of time, and I will never betray you. It's like, well, I think you maybe would betray us because you're betraying Hannah right now. So, like, even if you believe it, it's going to set off alarm bells.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid she would think that, like, okay, if he throws his closest ally up, and, you know, what would he do to me? But he could have painted it like, look, my back is on the line. I know if it's not me, it's going to, or if it's, I know that I'm going to be the one to go home. So look at anyone else. But if he's pitching Hannah, then it's like, okay, look, I would have no one else. I literally would owe you my life in the game. There's no way I could look you in the face and nominate you after knowing how close I could have been going home this week. Like, I think he just needed to sell her that, like, he was committed to that plan and he was going to do whatever he could do to keep her in the game because he owed her. He was indebted to her. And I think, like, when he walked out, she just wasn't sold. So I don't know if Tiffany could have sold that better, but then it's like, okay, why is Tiffany trying so hard for Derek X? So that it was a fine line.
All right, well, ultimately we're gonna get to our veto meeting, and this time we had it back in the episode on Wednesday. Did any of you think that we were gonna get it on Thursday night?
I was worried, especially once they spent a lot of the episode on A, Domino's, and B, on the Red Cross bag packing. I was like, the format's ruined. They're never going to do it right again. But then they did. So.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see what they do on Thursday night because we have the veto ceremony tonight. And we saw Derek X go onto the block. So either Derek X or Claire will go home on Thursday.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. That's unfortunately. That's what we have.
We'll see. We'll see what
there
happens.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So I wanted to get into some stuff from the live feeds. And of course, that we have now Xavier is going to have his 24 hours of quarantine, which are going to be coming. I thought they didn't do such a great job explaining this on the episode tonight, but Xavier will go into some sort of solitary confinement for 24 hours before the eviction. So I must assume that has started already.
It just started like when the episode ended, because since it's 24 hours and he's going to come out during the live eviction, he went in around the time that the episode would start.
So I want to talk about the state of the campaign and everything going on right now. So we're going to get to our spoilers. If you are leaving us now, we'll be back after the eviction show on Thursday. But first, before we talk about the spoilers, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you're feeling depressed, if you're struggling with relationships or having difficulty sleeping or meeting your goals, BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and can help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online with a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is for clients worldwide. Just log in with your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and you won't have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you might with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/RHAP. Visit betterhelp.com/RHAP to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. And also, support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Let's talk spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Looking at what crazy stuff is in this room, if you only know.
Oh, no.
Like it's August. You have a pumpkin.
Doing the podcast out of Nicole's old bedroom.
Some
weird stuff in here. All right.
It's funny because it looks like you're just looking at your normal podcast studio. Know, you're like, there's some weird stuff in here.
Looking all around. We could do some show and tell that would, you wouldn't
oh
sleep.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right.
Oh, no.
All right. So I guess the state of the campaign, Xavier was going to go away. And basically, when the cat's away, will the mice play?
We shall see. I don't know. I mean, apparently they're having to study for something right now. And so people are kind of frustrated with that because they're like, well, you know, how are they going to discuss strategy if they're just like studying all night? But well, I mean, I really don't know what's going to happen.
That they made Xavier go into solitary confinement and then there was something to study?
Yeah.
I guess they really don't want him to win HOH with the third nominee twist.
Yeah, so, they want him to be that third nominee.
Yeah. It's like, you're the third nominee. No matter what.
I feel like that's such an advantage to get the information you need to study, go to solitary, and then have no distractions. Like, literally, that's the dream, what we all need when we need to study. But, like, I feel like that's giving him a leg up.
What? I guess.
Unless he missed anything, he can't get that confirmation.
I do feel like word on the street is that it looks like he is not having a great time in solitary already.
Are they showing Xavier in solitary on the feeds? You get a camera on Xavier?
All right, Xavier's right funeral.
Yeah, they've been going back and forth to him. So, yeah, people are like, Xavier's doing some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Is that toilet thing real? That bucket,
yeah.
That photo of a bucket that they gave him to, you know, relieve himself in. That's insane.
I can only pray that it's not, but
that's
maybe.
Horrific. Like, I would not expect, I did not expect that to be a thing.
A bucket. Yeah.
Like, I thought they'd let him at least, like, go to the regular bathroom, even like a production bathroom. Like, okay, come out here, go to the bathroom, come back in, whatever. But, like,
Xavier's gone from the bucket hat to the bucket.
No.
He said he's gonna hold it.
Hold it. Like, that's dangerous, Asia.
Like number two, not number one.
That's because
he talked to Azza about it, and Azza said, you know, she goes every other day, And so she looked it up and she said it's healthy that even if you only go twice a week, it's okay. So what? He's like, okay, I'm a whole
thing. I'm pretty sure the last time Melissa and I were on a podcast together was when we were talking about Kato's colon on Celebrity Big Brother 2. And I was like really excited to have a podcast with Melissa that didn't talk about someone not being able to poop. And now we're talking about pooping in a bucket. And it's just not fair. I just want to talk to Melissa about anything but poop.
Okay.
Anything but butt.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. So let's not talk about
Kato Kaling's
anymore.
Colon.
Yeah.
Never again. Yeah. I wish I could forget.
Okay. I know. It's ingrained in my mind.
So, Asia, what's going on with the campaign at this hour to save Derek X?
Well, right now, Derek thinks that he has Tiffany, Hannah, and Azza. And if he can somehow get Kylan or Derek F, then he's like, okay, I'm in a good position. Kylan has said, like, I'll give you a sympathy vote. Like, if it's going to be unanimous, I'll give you a sympathy vote. So he's like, okay, maybe if I can get a sympathy vote for him and then get those other three votes, I can luck into four votes. But then now Azza's on the fence. And so he's like, okay, maybe I can get a sympathy vote from Azza. And so Azza gave him a pitch that, like, hey, I'm a floater whether you're here or not, so I don't think I need you here for my game. Mm-hmm. So we kind of left off with that before we started this recap. And so it's kind of a sticky place. Like, I don't think it's a zero chance. I think that if there were any time to have Xavier put away so everybody else can strategize, this would be the time. Mm-hmm. So it is very likely that they could turn around Derek F or Kylan. I mean, it's not very likely, but it's possible. It's not like, okay, mm-hmm. absolutely, like Christian, you know, like he's going home for sure. I think there is still a very small chance. I don't want people to get their hopes up, but, you know, Derek X is not going to jury 100% just yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really wild that, okay, the fun sponge Xavier gets locked away for 24 yes. hours. This is the one shot. So this would be
one chance.
Yeah, legendary Big Brother stuff if it could potentially work out. So let's see what Derek X is able to do. But do not get your hopes up.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up. But to be fair, I do feel like he's been doing a really good job. I don't think that if he doesn't go home, or if he does go home, I don't think that it's because he didn't try or anything like that. I think that he really is putting in the work and making good arguments too. Like, I think he's really trying, and I do appreciate that. I haven't heard like a peep from Claire. So I mean, maybe she has been strategizing, but the focus is on Derek, I think, at this point. But like, I mean, If I'm Claire, like, and I know Derek is going around doing stuff, I'd be like trying to make sure that he does not get this vote flipped, because I mean, that's bad. If you end up going home and they end up keeping Derek X, like, and you're supposed to be like the non-threatening person, like, that's not good for you.
I mean, could you just imagine all the tears she cried because Derek X is getting backdoored? And then she finds out, like, Tiffany tells her, like, right before, hey, sorry, like, somehow the vote flipped and I can't be on the wrong side of it. Claire's gonna be like, okay, I understand.
Okay.
So, as far as Tiffany goes, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad does Tiffany want Derek X to stay?
I'd say an 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say she wants him to stay, but I also think she's not going to like throw away her game to do it. But she is putting in good work in terms of like talking to people, but not really that, mainly just giving him the right tools to use and the right things to say in order to get this to happen. And I think that if she senses that it's a possibility, like, I think she will then kick it in high gear and actually maybe make it happen. I mean, if anyone can make it happen, it's Tiffany.
Because I think it was yesterday that she was talking with some other members of the cookout and was like, it's fine. Like, I'm not going to push for this. Like, I get it. I understand this is not happening. And then she talked to the cameras and she's like, but I'm not going to leave Derek with no argument to give. Like, I want to help him.
Yeah.
And I love that, too. It's like, I love when Tiffany does that. I love when she'll like talk to the camera and be like, I'm not letting this happen. Or like, I'm going to push, you know, what I want. And I just, she's so good.
love her so much.
I know. I love her so much.
This is also like, it's from the Sunday episode too, but it just made me so mad how they tried to spin the her versus Big D conversation. Yeah. I just haven't had a chance to speak on that. Yeah. And I just want to say, I don't like it. They made it seem like she was in the wrong and that Derek is just like a cool guy who just didn't do anything wrong. He's just apologizing because he should and she's unreasonable. And I was like, I don't understand. I don't understand how anyone could watch this show and be like, I don't like Tiffany. How dare you? Like, just get better opinions.
They're making it really, I mean, the edit is really not being kind to Tiffany, I think. I think they're trying to make Tiffany into this, like, villainous character, which she's not. And I think that they haven't really portrayed her in a fair light. I do like that they are including some of her strategic, plays in there. And I think that's good and giving her DRs for that. But then they are making her seem really unreasonable when it comes to these like arguments. They make it seem like she's into getting into like petty fights. I mean, the whole like good morning thing with Kylan, like did not go over well with casuals. Now this whole thing with Derek F, like apparently the casuals' favorite player, is not good. And the fact that they gave all the DRs in during that fight to DF, and didn't give them to her to explain her side of the story at all. Like, clearly they're making it so that DF is the narrator, she's being unreasonable, and he's just trying his best. It's like, it does not bode well for Tiffany.
Yeah. I actually think that Tiffany, if Derek X goes out of the house on Thursday, I think she's positioned well to be able to like pick up a lot of airtime and sort of be sort of like where that Derek X has sort of been, gotten like a hero edit over the last couple of weeks. I think that we may see things a little bit more from Tiffany's perspective in terms of her being sort of like the underdog, because they're going to need to really like tell the cookout story through one person's perspective. And I don't know who that person is going to be. I feel like that Tiffany is the best narrator, and I think that she's kind of in a not the most advantageous position in that group, and I kind of feel like that we could see it through her lens once the Derek X portion of the show is over.
I really hope so, because Big D honestly feels like he is the leader. He is the strategist. He formed this cookout alliance. He is the almighty creator. It's like, no, what are you talking about? What delusional world are you living in? And I just know he's talking about this in the DR. I know it.
100%. He's saying it in the house. He talks about how, oh, this is the alliance I created. And like, oh, the women aren't pulling their weight. They're not doing anything. What are you doing, Derek F? What are you doing? Stop it.
Also, do we think that Tiffany will fight to try to save Claire, where she feels like Claire can go this week, but if Derek X is gone, and next week, if it comes down to a battle between who should go home, Alyssa, Sarah Beth, or Claire, do we think that Tiffany will fight more to save Claire potentially next week when it comes down to that it's going to be potentially Claire versus the pawn of Xavier or the pawn of Kylan?
I think she absolutely will, because she knows very well that if Alyssa and Sarah Beth stays, it's as she would say, it's good for those boys. So I think she understands, like, if they were to stay over Claire, her and Hannah are at the very bottom of the totem pole, and the cookout guys are not above getting out Tiffany and Hannah before getting out Sarah Beth and Alyssa. And so I think at that point she would fight for Claire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, take some questions. Let's see what the listeners had to say tonight. Let's go to Chuck. It says, does Tiffany think she isn't a target? Kirsten, do you know, like, on what level is Tiffany worried about being targeted at this point?
I mean, I think she's very concerned about, once it gets down to brass tacks, that she and Hannah are on the bottom and that it's going to be coming. Like, she knows that it's coming soon, and that's why she wants to keep Derek X this week, to try and put that off a little longer.
Yeah. I mean, she thought she was going to potentially be going up on the block at the start of Sarah Beth's HOH reign.
That was really funny too, being like, yeah, I understand why I might need to go up, and Sarah Beth being like, no, no, I want to be with this other thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Tiffany's a target right now. I think that she is concerned for when it comes down to the six, because then she knows it's going to be boys versus girls and, you know, the guys can win. And I think that is what concerns her. I don't think she's necessarily thinking she's a target right now, but like in the future, she knows that she's got some work to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that does seem like an interesting way that it's going to be split potentially at the six. I mean, once Derek X is gone, all of the other people that are going to be potentially still out there that are non-cookout members are the women. Would Sarah Beth and Alyssa, that they would side with the Xavier, Kylan, Derek F side of that split? Or they don't see it that way?
Sarah Beth and Alyssa would side with the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they don't even know that that's where it's going at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, well, because you look at it and like the Sarah Beth and Kylan are a thing, and Xavier and Alyssa are a thing. And the four of them have already formed their monarchy alliance. So they already would work together anyway. And then Big D has a thing with the two guys. So that is certainly a solid side. And then you've got, you know, that Tiffany, Indiana, and Aza.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you've got them on the other side over there. And like they recognize that they're in a precarious position. There has been like some discussion of like, you know, are the guys going to stick to, you know, the six of us, or like, are we going to like, what's going to happen as it gets down to it? Do you think they would get rid of us? Like, we don't know. And I think even if they did get down to the six, I think the guys would for sure be like, yeah, get these girls out of here. They haven't done anything, quote unquote. So like, I really think that they're in a bad spot. And I think it makes sense for them to try and keep their allies as long as possible, which their allies are essentially Claire and Derek X right now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is leaving.
Yeah. So I think that this is going to get very, very interesting as we start to get closer to the six. I think it was easier to like talk about the six and think about the six, like when there was like 10 people and now nine. But as it gets to like eight and seven, I think that people are going to be tempted to potentially like, you know, get their ducks in a row before they get down to the final four, final five.
Yeah, 100%. And then it just is to be decided, like who wins the power in those few votes before it gets down to six is like very important. Mm-hmm. But when does the triple, the speculative triple fall?
I believe that the date for that was still a couple of weeks away. I think it was the
September,
three weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah. So I'm guessing we're going to get three like pretty interesting weeks with people tempted to maybe not stay the course as much as they have been. And then the triple's going to come and kill the momentum and take away the what could have been the most interesting part of the game.
And again, that was allegedly, like that hasn't been announced. Like,
it's not confirmed, but like the numbers add up and it aligns with how they did it last season.
Yeah, but we'll also see if they have anything else special planned. This is going to be the last week of the High Roller Room. This is going to be a week or two before then. So if there will be anything fancy going on. All right. Anything else about BB23?
Yeah, I do want to say that Xavier's score was, or time was pretty impressive. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like the last thing I did in 3 minutes was like doctor up my tea before this. So like, that's really fast.
I don't think I could set up normal sized dominoes in 3 minutes.
Exactly. So that was impressive, but that's it.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. And let's kick things off talking about our eviction show coming up on Thursday night. Taryn, Frail Mary, Isaiah Goines joins us on Thursday night live after the eviction. Hope you'll be there too. Taryn and Maggie Morgan will join us on Thursday to talk about everything from the live feed updates. If there's a flip happening tonight, you'll hear about it tomorrow on the live feed update. And then, of course, if you missed the Stock Watch on the roundtable this week, Chantel Francis was back with Taryn and Melissa to talk about everything from the Stock Watch. Melissa, what else can you tell us about the Stock Watch?
I feel like it was a big crash for a lot of people, especially for me. I did not do so well in terms of my buys because I forgot to buy. So I'm going to try not to do that this week.
Okay. Always remember to get the buys in. Okay. Of course, Maggie Morgan joined me on the slop this past week on Monday night. We talked about some of the past OTEVs. Which ones were the hottest of all time? Find out when you check out this week's edition of The Slop. And then...
And the answer might surprise you.
Yes. What do you... Kirsten, do you have an opinion on what the hottest OTEV of all time is?
I mean, I don't have a strong opinion, but as I was, you know, watching The Slop, I found myself agreeing more with Maggie than you, Rob.
Okay,
sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, well, then, I guess
we just have different
taste in OTEVs. I've heard you on all the Hot Dummy podcasts. You probably like the Jack Jellyfish.
No. How dare you? Take it back, the slander.
Yes. How tall was the Jack Jellyfish?
Why are you on my neck, Rob? What's wrong with it?
All right. Let's talk about the fourth best season of all time of Survivor. It was Mari Forth and Lindsay Wilson who joined me last night to talk about Survivor Micronesia, fans versus favorites. You know, I had been thinking, you know, a lot as I rewatched Survivor Micronesia this past week, which was so great, about the Black Widow Brigade and that particular alliance in that season and how that came together. And we were talking about how in a lot of seasons, people are always worried about, the women's alliance is going to come together. But it just so happened that it was this particular group of women, each with their own unique set of superpowers, that really was what separated this particular women's alliance from others that were not as successful. And I think that there are certainly parallels you could make with the cookout this season of if it is going to be successful, it's going to be because of the people that brought their own like individual talents to that group. So I thought that was a little bit of a fun thing to watch as a companion to Big Brother 23.
Right, because like swap out Derek F with like David, there's no way the cookout would be happening. So yes, I totally agree.
All right. How dare you make me think of David again? I thought Rob was going to say you could draw parallels to this podcast because there's three women here who all have our own unique set of skills.
Well,
but whatever.
I just didn't want to make the comparison of, that I'm Eric Reichenbach here.
Well, you know what the shoe fits.
Yeah. All right. Then, 90 Day Fiance. I haven't listened yet to the recap of part two of the tell-all. It was Puya and Liana who got together to talk about all about the tell-all reunion. Part two, I watched the episode. Have to listen to the recap to hear what Puya and Liana had to say about all of that. Then... got to check out what's going on. Oh, Bachelor in Paradise. And this week, Kirsten, you were on Bachelor in Paradise recap?
I will be. We are going to record it tomorrow. I am having withdrawals from Hot Dummies on an Island. So yes. I need to get my fix.
Okay. I love BIP. Check out the recap with Haley and Amy. And then Asia, what's going on over on Married at First Sight?
Yeah, so this week we are going to have Mari Forth with us.
Mari,
so
the first sight is back.
Yes. Exactly. So we're definitely going to have a good time. We're recording tomorrow. The episode came on tonight, but I've been a little busy. So, Married at First Sight has been great this season. We are already on episode 6, but they're still at the honeymoons. If you've never seen the show, it's about people that actually meet at the altar, get married, and then we see their lives play out for the next 8 weeks. So definitely check it out. Even if you're not watching the season, come listen to the podcast because we give you a full recap and all of our thoughts about it. So definitely check it out.
The best way to save time is stop watching TV and just listen to the podcasts.
Exactly.
All right. Of course, we got so much going on over on Patreon with 4 patron podcasts a week, including tomorrow when I do our patron feedback show all about Survivor Micronesia, The Slop, the BBQ&A with Taryn, and the patron Five for Five, which was extra spooky this past week over in our Patreon podcast feed at robiswebsite.com/patron. Check out all the offers from our sponsors at robiswebsite.com/offers. And then you can be sure to subscribe to our channel if you're watching us here live on YouTube. And then check us out on social media at Robinson Podcast on Twitter and at RHAP Grams on Instagram. Okay. Kirsten, what's coming up for you?
As we just said, I'm going to be on the Bachelor in Paradise week 2 recap. Frail Mary and I are back recapping Riverdale every week right now over on Kowski Cash. That's a cow with a K. We had our shortest episode ever this past week. Well, we were done talking about the episode about 35 minutes in. So anything past that was us dragging it out. It was not good this week, but the podcast is always fun. Mm-hmm. And I also have my weekly BoJack Horseman rewatch podcast with Lindsay Wilson, BoJack Horse Pod. And you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What.
Okay. Great job tonight, Kirsten.
Thanks, Rob.
Usual. Okay. Asia, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, so I joined Sasha Joseph to talk about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. So I was very glad she reignited my love for that show. I used to watch it like religiously and then I fell off. So her and I talked about that. So that'll be coming out soon. Like we said, Married at First Sight. So definitely check that out. I'll be on the live feed update this weekend. And then I'm actually joining Puya to talk about 90 Day the Other Way next week. So take a look. Keep a lookout for
Asia,
that.
I can't wait for the new season.
I know, me either. Because I did take a break during this season. So I'm glad to be back with the other, because I've actually never seen one of the 90 Day the Other Way. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting.
Okay.
You follow me on Twitter. Asia like Asia.
If you have any questions about 90 Day Fiance Happily Ever After, let me know.
Okay.
I'll fill you in. What's going on, Kirsten? What are the cats doing?
I don't know.
Looks like a standoff.
Is there a mouse?
There better not be. There was just one last week and I can't do it again. It was so scary. Rob, I had to catch the mouse in a cup. I had to save it from my cats and take it out into the wilderness.
Wow.
I can't do it again. Happened last Thursday.
I feel like that's the number one perk of having a cat is that it's going to get the mouse.
Well, yeah, but I've lived in this apartment for a year. There's been two mice the whole time. The first one, my cat killed it and I saw her running around with a dead mouse in her mouth and I had to get it away from her to dispose of it. That was traumatizing. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
The second one, I was able to save the mouse's life and get rid of it. That was traumatizing and I didn't care for it. But what would be worse is if she kills the mouse and then starts eating
I have to clean.
There's blood guts. I can't do that.
This is upset Melissa so much she had to leave the podcast. Yeah.
And you know what? I understand. I wish I could have left. I wish I could have left when the mouse came last week. And there better not be another one. I'll cry. I will cry right now.
Melissa, what's coming up for you?
Oh, you know, more Big Brother, of course. And also, I have a plug for myself, which is to try and get on Sasha and Chappelle's Never Have I Ever podcast, because I binge watched the show for the past 2 weeks. And now I want to be on that podcast.
And you're shamelessly pitching yourself as a guest.
Shamelessly pitching myself to be on that. So, you know, I haven't gotten asked. They know that I just binged it and they didn't ask me. So, you know, I'm just trying to get a fan campaign out here started by me.
Okay. Well, and you know what, if no one has been listening to that, everyone should go listen to Sasha and Chappelle talk about Never Have I Ever, because A, the show is amazing, and mm-hmm. B, those two are so freaking funny.
They're so good. It's so good. So you know, this is just a shameless pitch for myself.
I bet it works.
To be on it.
Yeah. All right, thank you everybody for joining us here tonight for our recap of Wednesday Big Brother. We'll be back tomorrow night to talk about the eviction. Take care, everybody. Good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Another charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.